If there's one thing in short supply in our world today, it is hope. And so we want to spend some time this summer talking about the story of hope. Because I want you to have a place that you can find hope that you can stand on, that is rock solid, that you can build your life on. A story, well, a story that is bigger than you. See, it's ironic as we begin to think about the story of hope. It's ironic that a key part of the story of hope is to remember that your story is never the whole story. Your story is never the whole story. It feels like the whole story because when I'm in pain, it feels like that pain is all there is. When you're in distress or when you're experiencing difficulty, it feels like that's all there is. But one of the ways we will find hope is to remember that there is more at work than you and I can see. And so we began last week. We began last week with Genesis chapter 1. Because if it's more than our story, we wanted to go back to the beginning. And we saw last week that as God was creating, he created people in his image. And as people created in the image of God, we said an image exists to represent God. And so we represent God to the world. We reflect God to the world. And we are kings and queens who are created to rule. People created in God's image, every single person, every ethnicity in the world. But that wasn't enough for us to be just created in God's image. We read in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent came to Adam and Eve and said, hey, why don't you be like God? And as ironic as that was, Adam and Eve went from reflecting God to gazing in the mirror, determining to be God, to no longer trust God. And when they began to trust in themselves rather than God, sin entered the world. And at that time, pain and distress and brokenness flooded creation. And if you read in Genesis chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you read all the way to chapter 12, you will discover pain after pain after pain. I mean, Adam and Eve, they have two kids, Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel, the original parents. Half of their sons, of their original sons, dead. You think your kids are bad? They're not even close to bad, right? And then the world begins to become so wicked that God determines to destroy the world with a flood, and he preserves this man, Noah, this righteous man. But after the flood, what does Noah do? Well, he grows a vineyard, gets drunk on some wine that he made, and does all sorts of lewd things. Not quite the righteous man we'd hope for. You go a little farther from there, the Tower of Babel, humanity trying to make our way to God. My point is that from people created in the image of God, as soon as the fall happened, the world was a mess. You think the world's a mess today? It is, but it's not new. It is a mess today, but that's not new. The need for hope isn't new. And so if you had been around in the end of Genesis chapter 11, you might have been asking this very reasonable question. What is God going to do? You might be asking that question even today. What is God going to do? Well, in Genesis 12, God began to set his plan in motion to set the world right. And we are introduced to a man named Abram. And this is the beginning of Abram's story. The Lord had said to Abram, go. Go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. This was a big deal. These were nomadic tribal people. And he's going to leave. He's going to go because God is asking him to. He's going to walk by faith. But God doesn't just tell Abram to go. He makes a promise to Abram, a covenant. Listen to what God says to Abram in Genesis 2. He says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Abram's going to be a nation. Now, right now, he's just a guy with a wife and some relatives. He's not a nation, but eventually Abram's descendants become the nation of Israel. They have a land. They are a people. And his name is blessed. And Abram is blessed. But that was not the end of the promise. Look at verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And here's the unique part, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, much like we saw last week, when people were created in the image of God, that was a radical new way to think about creation. Because most people in the history of the world have thought of humanity created by the gods to serve the gods. But the God of heaven and earth, the God of creation, created you and me in his image to rule in his name. Well, similarly, when God has a plan for Abram, it's to make him a great nation so that he can what? So that he can what? So that he can bless all the peoples in the world. Now, think about how radical this is. Think about how radical this is. What do nations do? What do nations do? Nations rule, nations conquer, nations defend. That's what they do. Nations are either seeking to expand their territory or defend their territory. And God says to Abram, through you, I'm going to do something completely new in the history of the world. I'm going to create a nation, a people who will not seek to conquer or defend, but who will be a blessing. Who will be a blessing. Well, didn't actually work out really well. And Abram's people, the people of Israel, fell into the pattern that nations tend to fall into. And rather than seeking to be a blessing to the world, they instead, when they got some land and they became a nation, they conquered and they defended. They conquered and they defended. And it's the same thing you and I are tempted to do in our own lives, in our own ways, over and over and over again. And here's why. Here's why we're all tempted to conquer or defend. Identity. It is natural to defend your identity. Wherever you find your primary allegiance, you will want to defend that allegiance. I mean, let's think about it, this at the most basic level. You know, think about a high school, right? At a high school, you have all these different identities. And so the jocks are making fun of the band kids, and the band kids are, you know, making fun of the foreign language kids, and the foreign language kids, that's their identity instead of the whatever kids. And you know what high school is? Just sort of gets just amped up in the adult world. And as long as you and I place our identity in our ethnicity or our political party or our entertainment or our hobbies, wherever we place our identity, our natural tendency will be to either want to conquer, like, you should come do my thing. I love ice hockey. You should come do ice hockey. Or to defend against those who are different. Wherever you and I place our identity, we will want to defend that identity, which is why we have such a difficult time in our world today having civil discourse. Because it's hard to have civil discourse when you think that someone wants to conquer you. See, but God had a different plan for Abram and his descendants. Look at what he said. He said, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Blessed through you. Blessed to be a blessing. And what we have to know today, what we have to see in the story of hope, is that what God began in creation by creating people in his image, through Abram, he continued the story of hope so that you and I might be blessed to be a blessing. But though God created the nation of Israel out of Abram, Isaac, Jacob became Israel. The nation of Israel as a nation was unable to fulfill God's plan to bless the nations. And so Jesus came. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, a descendant of Abram, the one true Israelite. And when Jesus came, he came to offer us a new identity. He came to offer us the opportunity to put our hope and our identity in something other than ourselves. The Apostle Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, God made him who had no sin, that was Jesus, to be sin for us. Get that? Jesus, no sin, us, lots of sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Theologians call this the great exchange. We exchanged our sin for his righteousness. And when that happened, we got a brand new identity. And our new identity is this: righteousness of God, child of God, follower of Jesus. You have a new identity. And when you and I place our new identity into our primary identity of children of God, righteousness of God, then we are able, it's so powerful. We are able to have dialogue and conversation and understanding and empathy and care and concern for anyone. Because when your identity is in the righteousness of God that you have through Christ, you don't need to conquer and you don't need to defend. Your hope is in the resurrection of Jesus, the great exchange, and your new identity. And the freedom from having to conquer or defend allows us to move on to the second part of what God always intended his people to do. You remember the second part, right? It's not just that we're blessed. Remember it in Genesis 12:2? This is important. This is the story of hope. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Story of hope, us receiving blessing through Jesus, the true Israelite, the descendant of Abram. This is the story we find ourselves in, but that's not enough. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And now it is our opportunity as the followers of Jesus to put our identity in Jesus so that we might be a blessing. Here's how the Apostle Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 5, just a few verses before the one we just looked at. Same chapter, a few verses earlier. And he died for all, that's Jesus, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, that is for their identities, their lowercase I, their little identities. I'm a jock, I'm a Republican, I'm a Canadian, I'm an ice hockey player, I'm white, whatever I am, I'm black, I'm Korean. Those are fine identities, but they have to be under. Don't live for yourselves, for those little identities, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And I want you to see this. It's my identity in Jesus that frees me to be a blessing. My identity in Jesus frees me to be a blessing. And as long as my identity is anywhere other than in Christ, I am going to feel threatened when you question it. My identity in Jesus frees me to be a blessing. Now, this is so important for us to think about in our world today. You could say it's in light of the racial unrest that we've experienced the last few weeks, but I'll be honest with you. This message was planned and in the can long before Ahmaud Arbery came to light, long before George Floyd was murdered. See, it's in our heart as a church to work for and fight for racial reconciliation. To not just not be racist, but to work to be anti-racist. And a part of that is being aware of what's happened in the history of our nation. And this week, on Friday, June 19th, is the important holiday, Juneteenth. Are you familiar with Juneteenth? I want you to be. If you've been around Grace the last few years, I'm hoping that you're familiar, that you got Juneteenth on your calendar. June 19th, 1865 is the day that the last slaves were freed in Galveston, Texas after the end of the Civil War. Now, I want to update you as I've been educated to some recent history just this morning, and I want us to all get on the same page of the actual history here, just to bring you up to speed. In 1863, January 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln made the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed the slaves. However, it was pointed out to me that that proclamation did not free the slaves in the southern states because the South had seceded. They were no longer aligning themselves with Abraham Lincoln. They were their own nation. And so the Emancipation Proclamation did not count for all of the slaves in the South. In fact, it wasn't until April 9th, 1865, at the end of the Civil War that the slaves in the South were freed. And they were freed on April 9th, 1865. And it wasn't until June 19th, 1865 that word got to Galveston, Texas, and the final slaves were free. Now, I have taught for many years that there were 2.5 years between the Emancipation Proclamation and when slaves were finally freed in 1865, in June 19th. And while that's technically true, it's not really historically accurate because the Emancipation Proclamation didn't apply to slaves in the South. It was really just 2.5 months between the end of the Civil War and when the slaves were finally free. And as I thought about the difference between 2.5 years and 2.5 months, I realized how important that was. And you know how important that is? It's not important at all. It does not matter at all. What matters is that over 400 years ago, our nation, as it was beginning, forced Africans into chattel slavery. And that for almost 250 years, we were fine enslaving African American people all through the founding of the country that I love. And that it wasn't until June 19th, 1865 that slaves were finally free. And that is worth celebrating. And that is worth being aware of. And my identity in Jesus frees me to want to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters who in the history of our nation have been oppressed and subdued. And so this past Sunday, there was a march in downtown Norfolk, and over 70 different churches marched from City Hall in Norfolk to Town Point Park in the name of Jesus and justice. Why? Because my identity in Jesus frees me to be a blessing. And it was a beautiful time. But it is not the end. It is the beginning. And so my call to us today, if we are going to find ourselves in the story of hope, it will be because we place our identity in Jesus and we can go and bless someone of a different ethnicity than you. Place your identity in Jesus and then go. I mean, Abram had to go and leave. You don't even have to go and leave. You just have to go and look for a way to bless someone of a different ethnicity than you. Because the story of hope is not just that we are saved, not just that we find hope in life in Jesus and forgiveness and all of these things that I love. The story of hope is that we are blessed to be a blessing. And if you're struggling with hope today, let me just tell you, if you're struggling with hope today, if you are not a follower of Jesus, I want you to know that your Heavenly Father loves you so much that Jesus died for your sin, and he wants to give you new life, and he wants to give you hope inside of you that can make a real difference in your life right now, whatever you're going through. And I want you to know that if you're a follower of Jesus and you are wrestling with hope, but you know that you're a follower of Jesus, it could be that the way you're going to find hope and enter into the story of hope is to go and be a blessing. Because we are all called to not only be blessed, but to be a blessing. And when you put your identity in Jesus, it's going to free you up. And people are going to say mean things about you, and they're going to disagree with you, and they're going to criticize you. And you're going to be able to bless them because of what Jesus has done in you. So as we close today, I want to give you 3 questions to discuss with your friends or family, whoever you might have watched this with today. The 3 questions are really simple. Number 1, what is something you can do to bless others? Number 2, have you ever felt looked down on for your ethnicity? What was that like, if you'd be willing to share? If not, what does that make you think? And thirdly, what can you do to work for racial justice in our community? You can discuss those in just a minute. Let me close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray that every single one of us would find our identity in Jesus and that we would be freed to be a blessing. And in this season in the life of our nation, may we especially seek to be a blessing to someone of a different ethnicity than us. I pray for every African American in our country who is feeling the weight of the systemic injustice that has plagued us from our founding. I pray for every Chinese American who is feeling oppressed throughout this coronavirus pandemic. I pray for every person who feels marginalized because of their ethnicity, God. May we, in Jesus' name, seek to be a blessing. And we pray this in your powerful name with our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.